Joy to be together. We get pretty bound by tradition sometimes, and of course, as we were singing, Dorothy was pointing to the places where I got it wrong. Well, I've just been a week in Jamaica, and so I mean, if you haven't heard the singing down there, it is wonderful to sing with the Jamaicans, but it won't sound the way you're used to it. And Carson had asked me one time, he said, "Don't you think we should have some classes on songs and singing?" And I'm thinking, well, that'd probably be a good idea, but I hate to break the spirit. Sometimes we get so bound by the notes that I don't know, and I'm always looking down the road and asking where things are going, just to make sure that we don't lose that spirit, that our personal spirit that comes from the Spirit of God and getting into His Word and that desire that we should have. I think it's something that we always need to be cautious of. Don't lose that zeal for God. And I really enjoyed that song, that lesson this morning on singing. I've never heard one quite like that. But man, was that refreshing to think about, why do we do this? You know, and I think about those times where God was doing great things for the people and they just broke out in song to God about the great things that He had done. And we've got a good God. And I really believe that we need to, on a regular basis, have, we need to remember why we're singing. And when we recognize why we're singing to God, it certainly does take on a different tone in our singing. I want to go to Psalm 23. I can tell you that I am totally wore out. But I love the Word. I love the opportunity to teach the Word. And I love coming together to worship God. I think about us at times, and I think about our role in living for the Lord. And as I think about the challenges of life, quite often my mind comes back to Psalm 23. It's a psalm that probably is used at half the funerals that's ever preached, if there's any God in those funerals. But it's not really talking so much about death, even though I believe that concept is in there. I think it's talking about life. And you know, life offers so many challenges on a daily basis. You know, I've just been a week in Jamaica talking to people about life and the struggles of life and trying to help them to grow and to go forward and either come to the Lord or get their life right back in a proper situation. And there's so many challenges. The problem with life is a lot of times when it gets bad, when we're not allowing God to be the shepherd. And when we try to take the reins, and we try to do things our way, and we try to depart from, okay, what does God expect of me? Then those are the worst of times. And I speak from experience because, you know, there's many times that I tried to take the reins and it just was never a good thing. But Psalm 23, I'm going to read it to begin with, and then we're going to come back and kind of dissect it and look at it for a while this afternoon. This is a psalm that David wrote. And David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I look back to the first lesson I wrote on that, and I had so much to learn. It didn't have the depth of meaning then that it does now. I've looked through the struggles and the challenges of life every day. I've compared these things that I see and recognize the great hand of God in my life. And I recognize that the Lord is the one that you want to be your shepherd. God blessed me to have sheep for a while. And them creatures, I'm sorry, but they depended on me. You know, they were lost when I wasn't there. I can remember that my neighbor came over and he said, "Do you have sheep?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, there's a whole bunch of them over there down the road a ways, and they're sitting out there in the pasture." He said, "They might be yours." I said, "I'll go check." And so I drove down there, and they saw me, and they jumped up. And so I hollered at them, and they started following me, and I led them. And they followed me real well until we got over the brow of the hill and they could see home. And they weren't following me anymore. They took off like a shot for that hole in the fence. You know, they were lost. They didn't know what to do. They'd gotten wandered away from home and they had no clue what to do. You see, you and me, we have a tendency to get away from home. We get off and we want to go in our own direction. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And we think, well, if we just go over here and the master's not there, the shepherd's not there, the challenges come. Guys, it's nice to hear a master's voice. But you're going to have to be listening. You know, they could have ignored me when I came. And they could have stayed back, you know. The others could have got up and they could have stayed laying there around that green lush grass and not got back home. But they chose to follow me. Jesus said, the shepherd, or the sheep know their shepherd's voice. And so Jesus' voice. Notice he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, the idea there is when we have the Lord as a shepherd, we're going to have the things that we need. You know, as I raised sheep and I saw the things that were needed by the sheep, I made sure that I met those needs. I can remember early on, we had some goats. Now, goats is different than sheep, if you ever raised the two of them. But we didn't know a whole lot about goats early on. We had our goats in the wrong kind of a pasture. And two of them got sick and died. Jesus knows what you need. And when you come to Jesus on His terms and you follow His voice, you will not lack. You will not want. But you will have all of the things that you need. I learned about sheep and I took care of their wants. I made sure that they had a proper pasture. It wasn't always to my liking. A lot of time it was towards Dorothy's saying you need to get this done fast. But I took care of those sheep, and I learned an awful lot about them because of that. And Jesus is the good master. He's the good shepherd. And the thing about him, he's not dumb like I was when I got goats. He's well studied, and he knows what you need. And guys, when you follow Jesus, he'll take care of all of your needs. If he is your shepherd, you will not want. It continues, and he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, you stop and think about the pasture that a sheep will eat. And, you know, we changed and kind of put sections in our field. And so sheep are real bad about getting worms. And worms kill sheep. All right? A nice, green, fresh, lush pasture is a very important thing to keep them from getting sick and dying. And so as a shepherd, in essence, we divided our 20 acres into, I think, about four different pastures or five. I forget exactly what it was. And then we would only leave the sheep on one pasture for a certain period of time because those worm eggs hatch in about 21 days, if my memory serves me correct. And so you can't have them in that pasture for that length of time. You got to get them out of there into fresh pasture that has not had any sheep on it for over 21 days. And so we rotated our sheep around, and you know what? So it served a few purposes. Number one, it took care of the worms, and the sheep were healthy. But also, when that grass was allowed to grow for a period of time, it came up nice and green again. You leave sheep on one pasture, they eat it down to the nubbins, it's kind of brown, it's not very good, and it's just not good, healthy grass. Jesus leads us to the green pastures. But the same old question comes back. Are we following? You see, one of those sheep could have stayed back in that other place. Now, one lone sheep, you know what you hear at night in the West? You hear wolves, or not wolves, but coyotes. And coyotes like sheep. And that one lone sheep would have not made it, more than likely, over the night. He would have been gone. And so my master, my shepherd, will lead me to green pastures, but I've got to be willing to follow. And so Jesus brings us to green pastures. He causes us to lie down in green pastures. Do you like rest? Do you like a comfortable place to lay? I still remember when I went over there to pick up those sheep, and here they saw me and jumped up and run. They were actually in a pretty lush pasture. I mean, it was nice green grass, and it was about that high, and it was a pretty nice place to be. I think about the neighbors that are just put sheep in behind us. They waited till they, and the reason was because they were having to put fence up, okay? Because you need special fence for sheep. And the grass was up about that tall. It was brown, and it was nasty stuff. I mean, it was not good grass at all. And so they put the sheep in there. And so now they got to eat that old dried stuff, you know. So hopefully they'll get it up and it'll be a lot better before long. But Jesus causes us to lie down in the nice green pasture. He gives us proper place. Jesus, as the good shepherd, also leads us beside the still waters. Now, I never did have a bubbling brook for sheep. And so this is a concept that I've studied numerous times, but I don't get it. But, you know, I do realize, and I've been told, that sheep do not like the rough water and they're not able to drink as they should. As you look at this, and what is the water of life? Is it the Word of God? Jesus brings us to the water of life to where we can partake of it and enjoy it. But it's our responsibility. You've heard the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You think we're his sheep are kind of the same way? You can lead us to water, but you can't make us take of the water. All right? And so Jesus is the good shepherd, and he leads us beside the still water. He gives us the opportunity to have the proper water that we need for life that we can actually partake of. You don't want to be there where your water is running and you can't stop, you can't get to it, you can't take of it. The Word of God is there. He leads you to it. You have the opportunity, whether or not you're going to partake of that water when you get there. God, Christ, leads us beside the still waters. The shepherd, the good shepherd, restores my soul. How many of you ever get to the point where you just don't know? I get there. Okay? We get discouraged. I know when I talked to Kenneth on the phone on Thursday, I had a prayer. And I just hung it up and I just cried for a while. I was pretty upset. Carson was in the seat beside me and I just leaned over in his shoulder and I just cried. A good shepherd restores her soul. It don't matter how bad it gets or what happens. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's there to pick us up and help us to go forward. I can think of the many discouraging things that have happened in the Lord's church. The many ups and downs that we've had in the 11 and a half years that we've been trying to grow the church here. And I think about the many devastating things that have taken place and the upsets and the challenges. And I look back on every one of those problems. And when I stayed with God, He restored my soul. He took care of us through it all. And what's amazing is we came out better on the other side. We were allowed to have great blessings and to go forward and to be able to do so much. Guys, we need to trust in the shepherd. Because if we cease to trust in the shepherd, there is no restoring of the soul. There is no refreshing and going forward and being able to come out on the other side of those discouraging things that happen stronger and better than ever before. But you got to be tied into the shepherd, you know? You know, so often we want to be like that stubborn old sheep that wants to go their own way. Can you remember the times in dealing with those stubborn animals? And then, you know, they do stupid things and you wonder, what on earth is wrong with you? I can remember when it was a cold. And it was about a freezing rain night. And I went down to the barn to count sheep. And there was one missing. So it was dark. And I took the flashlight and I went out in through the field and I looked around. And finally, there I saw her. She was standing there and she was stomping at the feet and I went out there and looked at her, and she had had a lamb, and it was laying there. And so I went out, and I picked up the lamb, and I brought it back to the barn, and she followed along, just a bleating and carrying on as I went. I brought that lamb back into the barn, and where it was dry, put it in the hay, and she was fine.
Jesus is there. Jesus comes to find us. But we've got to be willing to let him find us. And then we've got to be willing to follow him when he does.
Jesus is there to restore my soul when I need restoring. And guys, this happens. You all, each of us here has our own struggles and challenges and times where we just feel we're at the bottom and that we can't go forward. And we just need some restoration. But so many people, they don't want to tie into Jesus. They want to charge forward and do it their own way. They want to run off into the pasture and have that lamb out there and let it die because of the elements. Don't be stubborn. Don't be determined to do it your way. Come to Jesus. Allow him to restore your soul and bring you back together and put you together where you can be whole and you can have this better feeling and be able to go forward and do what is right. I can think probably Jesus kind of had that the night that he went to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. No, it wasn't a pleasant experience. But he came to God for help in those difficult times, didn't he? Where do you go in difficult times? You come to God. You allow him to put you back together. Jesus did, and it works. So my shepherd can restore my soul, and I need restoration. My shepherd also leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. You see this here? That's the path of righteousness. Many times we kick at the goads like Saul did. We see it and we don't like it. We see it and we say, it's not that big a deal. We see it and we say, I'm going to do it my own way, you know. We counseled with some people and there was numerous of us that were involved in the counseling situation. And oftentimes in our lives, we want to do things our way. And one of those individuals was not doing things right. And of course, things were not very good for those individuals. And one of the guys, we were talking about this and he... in reference to doing things the wrong way, he asked him, how's that going for you? I can say that ended up quite well. I think it's going to work, and I think they're going to listen and go forward. But he wasn't doing things God's way. And it was not working good. I got news for you, you know? You see, Jesus is there to lead us in the paths of righteousness. When those sheep took off over the hill and they had no clue where to go, I headed for home. And they followed me because that was the right direction to go. Now, honestly, when they come across the rise of the hill and they see the green, green grass of home, they're no longer following me. They're leading the way for the break in the fence. That way I could find it and I could fix it, okay? You should have seen about 25 or 30 sheep. They were loping along. They'd get to that hole in the fence and right under, right in there, one right after another. They were just as quick as they could be. They couldn't wait to get home. But I had to lead them home. We often want to do it our way. Now, if they stayed out there, the coyotes would have got them. And so I had to go out there to lead them in the right direction. But one of the things that I think we need to see is our master, he leads us in the paths of righteousness. And those are those are the things that's going to bless our life the most, is the path of righteousness. But did you notice that he does it for his name's sake? Did you catch that? Now, quite frankly, in the animal farming business, I raised sheep so that I could sell them for meat. And so they would have lambs, hopefully two, and they would raise up until about 120 pounds, and we'd take them to market and sell them. And so the concept there is, and of course then we'd shear them. Of course, wool is not worth anything, so it really didn't quite pay for shearing, but it was pretty valuable back then. But Jesus leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want you to recognize something. You're not here for you. You're here for the Master. Jesus is the Master. We need to empty ourselves out and give our will into Jesus. In order to do that, we're going to have to follow those paths of righteousness. Otherwise, it's not going to be good for us, and it's not going to be good for the Master, and we're not going to like it on the Day of Judgment. We need to recognize that we're here to bless our Master. As in Jamaica, employees oftentimes don't last a long time. And so there was a new employee at the motel. I don't know what day it was, Wednesday or Thursday, but here I'm ready to go out and get to work, and there's a new lady at the desk. And so I stopped and I talked to her for just a few minutes, and Maria told me, she said, this is her first day, and we are training her for this job. I said, okay. I said, young lady, let's talk for just a minute. I said, one thing that you need to recognize here is that you need to make sure that you do your job and you make sure that your boss makes money. Because if your boss doesn't make money, you will not have a job. The concept is you make sure that your Lord is blessed by your labors. We've forgotten that in our society. You can't find anybody that hardly do any work. Carmen and I was talking about that after midnight last night. We were standing there waiting for the luggage to come, and we were talking about people that don't want to work. They don't want to do nothing. And when they do work, they want to do it for nothing. They don't want to do anything while they're working. They just want to get paid, right? Jesus leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's up to you, okay? It's the same as a job. Follow the paths of righteousness and bless your Master, your shepherd. Because if you don't bless him, you're blessing Satan, and that's the other shepherd. Jesus leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. As I've gone through life, I've been in a lot of dark valleys. I've had many challenges where I didn't think it was worth going on. Many of those challenges lasted for some time. And that dark valley is a pretty scary place. You know, you look around to the right and the left and behind you and before and look what's going on and say, Just it's scary. What's going to happen? You know, how will I ever get out of this scary situation and be able to get to where I can see the light of day and not be scared to death of it, that there's something going to jump out and get me? And my life is not going to be in shambles because of this problem and this catastrophe that I'm in the middle of right now. You see, the key is the shepherd leads us through those valleys. You know, when you've got somebody's hand to hold you when it's really scary, takes away the fear. And it's not necessarily that even in real life that they're really able to protect us, but it's just having their presence. Now, Jesus can protect us. Jesus is there to take us through the valley of the shadow of death. And by having His hand, notice whose responsibility is that we have His hand? It's ours, isn't it? His hand is there and it's ready. But a lot of times we don't want to take it. We want to do it on our own, right? And we wonder, why is it so scary? Why is there so much trouble? It's because we're not taking the hand of Jesus. We're trying to charge forward and do it our own way, scared to death what might happen, wondering how we're ever going to pull through this problem. It's your choice. The hand is there. But not very many people actually want to take a hold of that hand because they want to do it their own way. It's kind of like we asked that young man, how's that working for you? Guys, we've got to recognize the value of the hand of Jesus. Life is full of so many scary things. It really is. Down to the depths of we're not sure whether we're going to have life or not. But when I take His hand, I'm not going to fear the evil that might come. Learning to trust Jesus has been one of the hardest things in my life. When time gets bad, and I don't know about tomorrow, I've learned that Jesus is going to get me through. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't have to doubt that. I've got a lot of history, okay? I've been testing this for 57 years. And when I took His hand, He always took care of me. When I didn't, it didn't go so well. Please gain a faith in the Master to follow in those paths of righteousness for His name's sake, so that you do not have to fear and you do not have to have the pain and the misery of the mental anguish of wondering, how am I going to get myself through this problem? It's so much better to say, take my hand, Jesus. I know you'll take care of me through this. And I'm going to show my faith in you by following what you say every day, whether I feel like it or not. We get our priorities in the wrong place and we wonder why the fear creeps in and it's a problem. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd used the rod and the staff for protection. The crook of the shepherd's staff was to pull around that neck of that sheep and to pull it to safety or to put it in the proper direction. Jesus has the rod and the staff. A lot of times we don't like it. We squirm and squawk and do our best to stay away from maybe the chastisement that comes, maybe the encouragement, the edification to try to pull us back into the right way. We're a pretty stubborn lot. Sheep are a mess, okay? I'm just telling you. They need the Master there to correct, to bring back in the right way. That's why He used sheep to paint a picture of you and me. That's why. Because we're just like them. We desperately need a shepherd. Because we're half stupid. You know, we get our head in the way and we want to do it a certain way because we just want to. We're just stubborn. I remember the most stubborn sheep that sometimes they just make me so mad I just want to wring their neck. I can remember the sheep shearer. There's sometimes them sheep were not wanting to be too agreeable. I got news for you. He'd straighten them up. Sometimes we need to be straightened up. But the rod and the staff, they comfort. When I give in to the discipline and the direction of Jesus, I will find comfort. But if I fight it, the comfort will not come. He says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Guys, there's enemies all around. There's all kinds of challenges and problems, but my shepherd prepares the table in the presence of those enemies. We don't need to fear. We need to trust the shepherd. We need to allow him to bring the good things that we need in our life when it seems like there's no hope and no help. When we feel like the enemies are going to overtake us, we think of David in the midst of the problems that he had, but God took care of him through them all, didn't he? And he will in your life. But that's your choice. You see, you don't have to follow the shepherd. You can run off in your own direction and allow the problems and the difficulties to come and the enemies to overtake. Satan's the enemy. Just remember that. Satan is the enemy. "Thou anointest my head with oil." The oil in the New Testament was medicine. And the shepherd would use the oil to anoint the sheep. I don't remember his name, but there was a farmer not too far from me, and he had sheep. They were the grossest looking sheep I've ever seen in my life. My sheep shearer said, "I won't shear them, and if I do, that's going to cost him a lot of money because they hadn't been sheared in years. And then the old maggots get in there. And the sheep die from the lack of care. And they look bad." Jesus is there to medicate us when we need him. He's there to take care of us when we have those ills that come. And life's full of those ills. We have them all the time. And there are all kinds of challenges and problems that pull us down and make us sick and take us away from God. We get sick and die. But Jesus is there, if he's our shepherd, to anoint our head with oil, to bring the healing that we need and help us to be able to go forward. "And my cup runneth over." Guys, follow Jesus with all you got, and he'll take care of your needs and then some. You just got to give in to him. It's not easy, okay? Because we want to follow Satan, and Satan's saying, "Look, you really need to do this your way, because then you'll be happier if you get your way." My way's never really been the greatest. But Jesus's is. And when I follow Jesus and put him first, my cup truly runs over. It's not lots of jobs that cause our cup to run over. I've known people with a lot of jobs, lots of money, and they were in serious trouble. I see the wealthiest of people who have holes in their bags that they put all their money into. And they wonder why. It's because Jesus isn't their shepherd. Jesus isn't running their life. You see, when Jesus is in charge, our cup runs over. We have everything we need and more. And we need to learn that. We need to remember that, and we need to hang on to that in whatever comes in life. And when Jesus is our shepherd, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. How many of us want goodness and mercy all of our life? Man, I do. Double. I really want it bad. But you got to understand, if Jesus isn't your shepherd, that's not the way it works. It's not goodness and mercy that follows us. You think about mercy for just a minute and let your mind go to the judgment day. If Jesus is not your shepherd, there will be no mercy on the judgment day. The goodness, and it's not just talking about that. It's talking about every day of life. I need Him. I need His goodness. I need His gracious mercy that will bless me and help me through every day's life. That's the good shepherd. But you see, it's my choice. I can give in, and I can say, Jesus, lead me. I can look at His Word and see what He says that means. What does that really look like? Because it's there. See, He's the shepherd. He said He calls His sheep and His sheep hear His voice. Well, that simply is implying the fact that when Jesus speaks, we do what He says. You know, when those sheep heard me coming across and they heard me holler at them, they perked up their ears and they jumped up and they come running because they were lost. And we're lost without Jesus. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Guys, you need to be thinking about eternity. And there will not be anybody in eternity, in heaven, that is not a follower of Jesus. Follow Him and give Him all you've got. Is anybody this afternoon that needs to respond to the invitation? Do it now while we stand and sing.